Good morning.
Torah Way, Northwest London, Wednesday, Vov Tammuz, the 16th of June, Harav Rashi Simon Schlitter, Al Hasela Och.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here at the Torah Way once again, Chadei Shamenu Kikedem. Our subject, you've heard, is Al Hasela Hach. That is the, let's say, more devout formula. What I had in mind was Rock My World, Moshe's downfall. For reasons of caution, we've done Al Hasela Hach. The reason I mention that is Al Hasela Hach may not be the full story behind Moshe's downfall. Of course, I'm referring to Meimariva, and the Torah makes it clear that this event is the reason, although it's not the only reason, but the Torah identifies it as the primary reason why Moshe, also Aharon, were not able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe's stated intention to lead them to a land flowing with milk and honey was not realized. Subsequent, of course, to the Chet HaMeraglim, where in any case the whole generation was delayed and only the following generation entered. But even Moshe Rabbeinu himself, also as a result of this event, was destined ultimately to perish in the wilderness, as is very well known. Now, the Medrash finds a few other hints where this was already foreshadowed. But in the text of the Torah itself, this is the reason why. Yan lo he'emantim bi'lahakdisheni.
Aharon, why was he not?
It's a good question. So it seems that Aharon, I mean, that possibly I just quoted now is in the plural, lo he'emantem bi'lahakdisheni, that Aharon is also implicated. Even though we find that Moshe was the actor, but because Aharon was his partner, he was his, you know, his, of course, originally his interpreter, they were a team. It seems they were a team. But you're right, the onus or the responsibility would seemingly lie much more with Moshe than with Aaron. But nevertheless, Vayoma Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon yan lohem antem bi. Okay, they're both in it together. So I'd like to explore together this morning a number of approaches to this, I say problem, because it's not immediately obvious at all what really was the Chet Meimariva. The vehicle that I like to use for this exploration is Ramban. Ramban has a long, a fascinating piece here, very worthwhile to read it or to reread it. I can recommend it highly. Ramban surveys the approaches to this explanation. Ramban begins by saying, "Hachet b'Moshe v'Aharon b'mei Meriva eino misfarsein b'kosev." It's not explicit. It's not elaborated upon in the pasuk. The fact that they did sin is said explicitly, but the nature of the sin is not at all clear. Rashi's comment is very well known, that Hashem said v'dibartem el hasel. It doesn't say strike the rock, and Moshe struck the rock. Shilu dibro hayakarash vachim's kadesh lainei kol ha'eda. Because if they had spoken to the rock, then this would have been the kiddush Hashem. Umas, because the people would have said, if this rock, which doesn't have any agency, which doesn't have any free will, responds to the divine command just with an instruction, then we should certainly do so. Umas elazeshenu shemei v'enu medaber mikayim dvaru shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu ana lachas kama v'kama. V'tiver agadahim, says Ramban, this is a midrashic tradition. Aval lo nischavru, but Ramban says, I'm not convinced, it doesn't really make that much sense. He makes a few points. And one of the points he makes is, ve'ein hanes gadol b'diburo yosem ha'ka. The miracle of speaking is not any different than the miracle of striking. Did anyone ever see a boulder that you strike it with a staff and it produces water? Such a phenomenon is miraculous. And therefore he says that the miracle of speaking or striking is not much different. Ki ha'ko shavel etzel ha'sela, from the rock's point of view, it's all the same. Vod lama mar bezem ma'altem bi. The pasuk says later on in Dvarim, ma'al tembi, it's like a betrayal. Me'ila is a very strong word. So Ramban says, why does the pasuk condemn what happened in such harsh language, if it's just the difference between speaking and striking. And actually, the first time around when this incident is narrated in the Sefer Shmos, also he was supposed to take the staff so said Vitsiva Shiyomru Vitsiva Shiyomru Vihishomas Kiyotzi Hashem Min Hasel. Okay. So says Ramban that. From the point of view, it's all about the Sela. It's all about the Sela. So he doesn't understand why the Chet should be identified as striking it. I hope at the end we'll have a chance to come back and try to understand Rashi maybe at a deeper level. Ramban also mentions Ibn Ezra, which is a bit obscure. But then he tells us about the Ramban. And it's a fascinating exchange. You know, the Ramban was one of the great critics of the Ramban, also one of the great admirers of the Ramban. In case you're wondering, you know, the Ramban's writings, not that anybody here asked me, but the Ramban's writings in philosophy were highly controversial. And there were those who even condemned the writings and condemned the Ramban as well. Ramban was not among those harsh critics of the Ramban to that extent. The Ramban, in a way, mediated. He was a great admirer of the Rambam, while he criticized the Rambam as well for his fealty to Aristotelian philosophy and that sort of thing. What we have here, though, is would seem not a matter of philosophy or respecting secular wisdom, but just the parshanut in terms of understanding this passage in the Torah. So here we have what the Ramban tells us. Is the approach of the Rambam, and quite a devastating critique, which we shall also try to vindicate the view of the Rambam. Let me tell you about it. He says, "Varav Rabbi Moshe Savar Bo Svara V'Amar Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Cheto Hu Shenatal Letzad Harag Zanus Ba'Omro Shimuna Hamorim." The chet was that Moshe got angry, or Moshe tended towards anger. He said, Shimuna Hamorim, listen up, you rebels. Okay, and getting angry is not good, but the Rambam elaborates further. Dikte kalav Hashem Yisbach Shiyya Adam Kamohu Ko'es Lifnei Adas Bnei Yisrael. Hashem was very exacting regarding Moshe, who got angry before the tribe, but before the people of Israel. B'mokom she'en bo ro'i hakas, in an occasion, in a context where anger was unwarranted. This achila, and that's why the Akharish Baruch Hu, so to speak, was in turn so angry with Moshe. That's why the consequences were so devastating, because Moshe got angry in a case where he should not have gotten angry. There's no justification for it. Moshe is a paradigm. Moshe's is a paragon. His behavior, his actions, his every motion, his the inflection of his voice, his choice of words were studied with such care. He was the exemplar for the people. A person in such a circumstance, in such a role, has indeed a very great responsibility, which I'm sure we can all understand. Ve'ech yira alav hakas v'humin ha-pu'ulos haraos. How could Moshe demonstrate anger? Anger is something which is so contemptible. Later on, I mean, I say later on because this passage comes from the Shemona Prakim, which is the introduction of the Rambam's Perish to Pirkei Avos, I'm sure you know, which he wrote when he was a young man. The Rambam wrote that before he was 30 years old. He wrote this Perish HaMishnayos. Mishnah Torah he wrote much later. Of course, in Mishnah Torah, it's a much, much more ambitious project, but what I want to get at is in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam writes about Midos in Hilchos Deis. He writes about the sorts of behavior, the sorts of character traits which a person should manifest, and he of course praises those who take an equal poise position, the so-called Shvil HaZahav. But the Rambam in Hilchos Deis identifies two midos in which a person should flee to the furthest extreme. One is in humility and the other is in anger. The Rambam writes in Mishneh Torah that anger, a person has to avoid anger at all costs to the full extent. So here in his in the Perush HaMishnayos, the Rambam writes similarly that anger is a very negative trait, and especially a great person as Moshe, if he gets angry, he has to bear the consequences. Shehu lo haya medaber im schalim v'lo im mi she'ein lo ma'ala. He was addressing the Tzon Hashem, Klal Yisrael. He wasn't speaking to low lives. Aval isha ketane shebenishem ha'isa ki yechezket ben buzi. The humblest woman among them was greater, had in a greater prophetic experience than Yechezkel ben Buzi. Of course, that's a reference to the Maaseh Merkava. When they had Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, they were all at its highest level. For such an audience, one has to speak to them and treat them with the utmost respect, etc. And to get angry, when Hashem is not angry, is wrong. V'lulei sh'ayah yodea sh'Hashem kas aleinu, the people thought, well, Moshe, if Moshe is angry, Hashem must be angry. Moshe would not have gotten angry with us if Hashem was not angry. V'lulei sh'ayah yodea sh'Hashem kas aleinu, when we ask for water, that we have angered Hashem, lo haya ko'es, says the Rambam, we don't find that Hashem was angry. There are many occasions where the Torah does say that Hashem was angry, but not here. The people wanted water. Hashem said to Moshe, take the staff, speak to the rock, and produce water. We don't find that Hashem was angry. This is the approach of the Rambam, and he himself says, "Hine hitarnu safek misfeke haTorah." We have resolved one of the conundra of the Torah. Shenemru badvarim rabim. Many things have been said about it, writes the Rambam. V'nish al pamim rabim eize chet chata. Many have asked, What sin has he committed? Consider, see what others have said about it and what we have said. Okay, the Rambam seems quite confident that he has resolved this difficult problem, and he says, compare what I've said to what others said, and basically you'll see that I'm right. I've solved the problem. Elu dvarav. Zichron Levracha, says the Ramban. Zok the Ramban, Hosif Hevel al Havalim. Shakasiv Amar Marisem P. The Torah says, you've rebelled against me. Sha'avral Dvaro. V'amar Lohe Emantem B. You have not believed in me, or you have not caused others to believe in me. Eina Onish Bavu Sheka'as. There's no indication that the Onish is because of anger. It may be so that anger is a very bad trait, and it may be so that Hashem did not indicate any anger, but the Torah itself identifies the chet in another arena. It doesn't say about anger. V'yosar haya roi shiyeh ha'onesh al Moshe kishakatzaf al pekudei hachayel. B'chinam. There are other places where the Torah says that Moshe has gotten angry, and it would be more appropriate for him to be rebuked klapei Shmaya for those occasions. V'akasuv lo siper klal sheka'as kishimuna hamorim tochachas kederach hamamim ha'isim im Hashem. We don't even see from the words, if you look at them carefully, that Moshe was angry. He said, Shimuna Hamorim, listen up, you rebels. That's like Mamre Hamisim, Im Hashem. So the Ramban speaks at length here in critiquing the Rambam. Im ken hen chaktu v'garmu kol hara hazos. So he says that it was the people who were out of line. Etc. Just to skip a bit more. Ulediva harav ein lahem b'chol ha'maseh hazeh chet u'pesha klal. U'masha amar lo matzinu b'Hashem yisbarach shekaas. That's what the Rambam says. We don't find that Hashem is angry on this occasion. Aval amar kachas ha'mateh, etc. Da ki kasher tzirichim. Sorry, I'm just my... Da ki kasher tzirichim. So Ramban says that Hashem is compassionate, and if the people are desperate for water, so that it's only right that Moshe should fulfill their needs. Bekitzur, the Ramban finds the view of the Rambam without merit. He concludes, "Vahatem al harav shari mikra malehu v'yaktzifu al meimeriva v'yera leMoshe ba'avuram." A pasuk in Tehillim. It does say that Hashem was angry with them, and therefore the whole approach of the Rambam, in the view of Ramban, has no merit. I'd like to now just tell you what the Ramban does endorse, and then I'd like to go back to the Rambam and see if we can vindicate his view, and then go back to Rashi and see if we can do the same for Rashi as well. And that's my objective in the next 10 minutes. So Ramban, you may know, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, the best approach that I have come across, says Ramban, doesn't say it's a slam dunk, as we say in America, but at least it will keep the questioner at bay. Litchos HaShoel, Heim Diver Rabbeinu Chananel. By the way, Rabbeinu Chananel was very early. Rabbeinu Chananel lived before the Ramban. Rabbeinu Chananel ben Chushiel was his father, Rabbeinu Chushiel, was among the Arba Shvuyin, the four captives. You know about the pirates who captured a ship that set sail from Bari in southern Italy. These were Gaonim from Bavel, who were there either for Hachnasas Kala, which is an ancient tradition of rabbis raising money, or it was for Yarchei Kale, it was a convention of Talmidim. But in any case, according to the legend recorded, which seems to be true actually, recorded in Shalshalat HaKabbalah, so he writes there that the ship set sail from Bari, and they were set upon by pirates in the Mediterranean, and these four Chachamim were sold by the pirates in four different places. And that sort of seeded the Mediterranean basin as a Mokom Torah. So one of them was Rabbeinu Chushiel, and he was ransomed in Morocco. And that is where Rabbeinu Chananel lived in Morocco, in North Africa. That's why Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel with great respect, Kol Dvarav Divrei Kabbalah, because Rabbeinu Chananel had the Mesorah from the Gaonim in Bavel. He was among those who introduced the tradition of study that was manifest, that was paramount in Bavel, to Italy and to Spain as well. Okay, I digress slightly, but it's worthwhile to know, because we don't know that much about Rabbeinu Chananel. We've heard of him, you see him on the Gemara, on the side of the Gemara. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel with great respect. It's quoted by the other Rishonim sometimes, and it says, Kol Dvarav Divrei Kabbalah. So Rabbeinu Chananel has a very elegant and very simple explanation. If you remember one thing from this year, you can remember Rabbeinu Chananel. He says, V'karu min advarim shenemru bazeh, from this boulder shall we produce water, notzi lachem mayim, says Rabbeinu Chananel, v'ra'ui shomru yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. Instead of saying, shall we produce water, they should have said, hamin hasela hazeh yotzi Hashem lachem mayim. Will God produce water from this rock? Because they said notzi, the letter nun implies that we, that is to say, my dear brother Aaron and I, we're going to produce water. Shall we do it? In other words, you're asking me a big thing. Shall we produce it? I'll show you I can and I shall. And he struck the rock and produced water. Says Rabbeinu Chananel, he should not have said notzi lachem mayim. Should have said yotzi Hashem. V'ulai chashvu ha'am ki Moshe v'Aaron b'chachmasam hutziu lehem mayim. Maybe they thought, the people thought, that Moshe and Aaron, in their wisdom, were able to get water from the rock, but like Israeli water technology, an early instance of it. This is that you failed to sanctify me. Okay, Ramban has a bit more to say, but that is the essence of it. That's the opinion that he endorsed. I want to tell you, though, what the Mefarshim say about the view of the Ramban. this idea of the anger. Where do you see the anger? So, I mean, Ramban says about Rambam, you don't even see that Moshe was angry. He just says, Shimuna Hamorim. And it's like, Mami, we see Mashem. So if you look, if you have Ramban, I'm sure everyone has Ramban at home. If you don't have it, your boy got it for a bar mitzvah present. Two volumes of Ramban, published by Chevelle, Chaim Do Chevelle. It's a modern classic. I'm sure everyone has it. The reason I mention Chevelle is that in the back, there are notes on the bottom, which you know, but in the back, there are also further notes. He has, like, when he did a second edition, he added Miluim v'Hashmatot at the back, like an appendix. And if you make your way to the back of Ramban, there you will see that Chevelle quotes from a book called Medrashei HaTorah. It was published in the 19th century from manuscript, written by someone called Rabbi Shmuel Astruk. And he is known as HaKadosh, and we don't actually know that much about him. I tried to find about him. There's not much that we can find. But his Perush is illuminating in the sense that he explains what the Rambam is all about in this case. And I'll be brief because I've used up my time telling you about Rabbeinu Chananel. He says that there's a big difference between accusing a person of rebelliousness and accusing a person or condemning a person as a rebel. Shimuna Hamorim, to address the Jewish people, to stigmatize them as morim, as rebels, this shows anger, and this is the reason for the response. That's the depth of the chait of Moshe and Aharon. I'll just read you a few words. Kasher haya be'ez hatochocha v'tazkir lehem ma'aseihem lo taram b'morim. If he had described what they did, and he had not identified them as rebels, then that would have been acceptable. That's tochacha, to say you've done wrong. But to say that you are a rebel, this is much more severe. He says, aval im aval amaki ha b'masa hahu hayu mamri makzifim. That would have been acceptable. Upamim rabos, even if it happened many times, it's not the same if a person says to his friend or his enemy, you're a gazlan, you're a ganav. That is not the same as saying ganavta o gazalta. If you say you have stolen, or you have embezzled, or you have done whatever kind of offense it may be, you're accusing a person of doing something wrong, but that's not as bad as accusing him of being a ganav or being a gazan. She'ena lo shu mita'er oso shekol ma'asav ha-geneva v'ha-gezel v'gam ki'aliluhu b'hamim rabos v'ma'asim masmidim. Even if he accuses him repeatedly of stealing and other things, that's not the same. That's not as bad as saying you are a ganav, because you identify the person in that way. We read in Pirkei Avos, Al Tehei Rasha Bifnei Atzmacha. So Dr. Tursky, Shia Tursky, Zichron of Racha, has in his parish on Pirkei Avos, he says it's a difference between, in a psychological insight, between guilt and shame. Guilt is what a person feels when he's done something wrong. Shame is the feeling of inadequacy, a feeling of being inherently blameworthy. Or to put it differently, it's the difference between saying, I made a mistake and I am a mistake. When you have a child, you can say to a child, you've done something wrong. But don't say to a child, you're a bad boy, because you need to say to him, you're a good boy, but you've done something wrong. You can do better than that. This is the error of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Rambam, according to this Rav Shmuel Astruk, who explains that the Rambam refers to the fact that Moshe said Shimuna Hamorim, and we don't find anywhere else in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu addresses the Jewish people in a way that characterizes them in such a negative way. He rebukes their conduct, but here he says Shimuna Hamorim. This is perhaps how we can understand the Rambam, why the Rambam is convinced that Moshe Rabbeinu demonstrated anger, and you could even say he lost control and he condemned them as rebels. And to say that to Klal Yisrael, that is a severe error on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's lo amantem bi lahakdisheni, that you let me down, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the 2 minutes we have left, I want to tell you what the Sfas Emes, it's not just for Judy, I was going to say it anyway, what the Sfas Emes says about explaining possibly an approach of Rashi. So we said Rashi is very well known, the best known, that the problem is, the error was, he struck the rock, and that was felt in the Kiddush Hashem. As we saw, the Ramban says, is there really such a big difference in Kiddush Hashem for the rock, whether he speaks or strikes? The Sfas Emes writes in a kind of cryptic passage, I've got it here in my notes, but it needs a little bit of elaboration, which I'd like to explain as follows. That if Moshe had spoken to the rock, he would have been using the power of kol. Striking the rock is the power of the arms, is the physical strength. This harkens back to HaKol Kol Yaakov VaHayadayim Yedei Esav. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to elevate the Jewish people to the level of kol, the level of using the voice. Yadayim Yedei Esav is the terrestrial approach, the physical approach, the earthly approach, the approach of the hands, the physical labor. The people, when they rejected the man in Parshas Bahaloscha, that was a rejection of Moshe. That was a rejection of the leadership of Moshe. That's why he took it so personally at the time. Chet HaMaradlin was, again, it was spurning the land that the Jewish people could have conquered in a supernatural way. It was saying, we want to go through it in a military way. We want to not rely on HaKol Yaakov. We are more comfortable. We haven't fully been elevated to that level. We would rather use the Yadayim Yedei Esav approach. All of the miracles and all of that, the people were not ready for it. And therefore, the Chet HaMaradim demonstrated that they were not prepared, they were not able to somehow ascend to the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. This incident now took place at the end of the 40 years. It took place with a new generation. Moshe Rabbeinu was trying, again, to elevate them to the level of HaKol Kol Yaakov. This was another opportunity. This was another chance to bring them up to the level of Kol Yaakov. If Moshe Rabbeinu had spoken to the rock, he would have demonstrated that we are going to lead our lives according to the destiny, according to the potential that is latent within Klal Yisrael of HaKol Kol Yaakov. We don't need to use the Yedei Esav. Moshe Rabbeinu possibly did not believe the people could do it, or he, for whatever the reason, missed that opportunity. So striking the rock was a reversion to the Yedei Esav approach, the physical approach. Even though, of course, as Ramban says, it's still a miracle. Yes, but at the level of that nuance, at the level of those subtle distinctions, he could have and he should have used only the Kol Yaakov. And the fact that he struck the rock was falling back to the Yedei Esav, and that's why Moshe could not lead them into Eretz Yisrael, because Moshe Rabbeinu kishelatzmo, of course, was highly exalted, but because he didn't, or he couldn't bring the people up with him, so it was destined ultimately that Moshe's downfall would come about at that time. It would have to be left to the next generation, or to his successor, to lead them into Eretz Yisrael, which, although it was with miracles, it was a lot of Yedei Esav as well. It was a military encounter, and unfortunately, Moshe's aspiration to lead them and the high road to Eretz Yisrael was not possible to achieve. This is Yan Lo Hemantimi Lahakdisheni. Lahakdisheni means to cause them, Hemantimi, to cause them to believe in me. It was that subtle error on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, which led to his downfall. And hopefully we've illuminated a difficult, fascinating parsha. Yes. There's a lot more to learn. I wish you a good day.
Long time no see. Shalom aleichem.